You know, we always hear that you should have money in a reserve just in case there's an emergency.
Oh, you mean like a pandemic?
Yeah, just like a pandemic. And we've got great financial advice coming up.
And this is Chick to Chick.
Carrie, this pandemic has really taken a toll emotionally, mentally, and financially. So many people lost their jobs. Other people are dealing with medical issues, and those bills are pouring in, and people are going, what do I do now?
Yeah, it's a really scary time because, you know, a lot of people really concentrated on that 3 to 6 month rule of saving up your salary, you know, just in case. Well, like you said, it's month 7, and this is something we're not used to.
Yeah, you're running out of that reserve that you had tucked away, but the bills are still coming in. Now you can't pay the bills. You might be worried about your credit score. People are kind of stressed out about finances.
Yeah, and then there's also the scammers taking advantage of the situation. So we really need to get a lot of info on this.
Our guest today is Lisa Kennedy. She is a financial education analyst with PSECU. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, great to see you.
Great to see you as well. Thank you so much. Lisa, so you have this situation that, you know, somebody might find themselves in a financial crisis, whether they've lost their jobs or they have mounting medical bills or even a pandemic hits. What's the first thing someone should do when they find themselves in this situation?
The best thing that you can do for yourself is to take some time to identify your income and your expenses. So if you have a budget already, that's fantastic. Make sure that it is accurate. If you don't have a budget, now's the time to put one together. So pull your bank statements, see where all your money is going each month, and then make sure you know what type of consistent income that you have in the future or the foreseeable future, if you can predict that. Once you know where you stand financially, you can take steps then to reduce your expenses, cut back your spending, which most people have to do in a crisis situation.
So Lisa, you talked about cutting back on spending. A lot of people will think, oh, just, you know, clipping coupons or not having that latte. What other suggestions do you have?
Right. So one thing that you can do when you're looking at fixed expenses is see if you can negotiate any of your bills or payments. An example would be your cell phone bill. I don't know about you. I'm at home a lot more. I'm not using as much data plan. I'm using all of my Wi-Fi. Maybe you can change your cell phone plan to save $20, $30 a month there. Another thing is looking at car insurance. Can you shop around for better rates or negotiate a better rate with your current provider? Outside of the fixed expenses, look at community resources and see maybe there's something that you qualify for that maybe you didn't in the past. And now that your circumstances have changed, you may qualify for those types of resources. So a food pantry or free or reduced school lunch. And then even services that may be offered because of a global pandemic, telehealth, virtual health appointments that might help save on copay for doctor's visits, things like that.
Yeah, you really need to look around and there are ways to save. Even if you do that and you've created that budget, which you suggested, if you still find yourself in a position where maybe you just can't pay that bill, what can you do about that?
Right. So the best thing that you can do is to start by being proactive. So contact your lenders or any companies before you miss any payments. They may have more flexibility or better options for you before you hit like a delinquent status or something like that. Once you have all those options, don't just jump to the first thing that, you know, pops out at you or the first thing that you're offered. Take some time to look at everything that's available to you and consider both the short-term and the long-term consequences. An example is if you have credit card debt and maybe you get a balance transfer for 0%, but that new interest rate is only for 6 months and then your interest rate skyrockets. When that happens, maybe you can't afford that payment. So you want to avoid putting yourself in a situation where it makes the payments easier now, but is going to keep you in financial distress in the future.
A lot of people are looking at their credit scores right now, and I think some have really taken a hit. You know, how can people help protect their credit rating?
Right. So with your credit score, one of the largest components is your payment history. So that's why it's so important to maintain communication with your lenders, you know, be as proactive as possible if you are unable to make those types of payments. When you are receiving offers, make sure you understand both the terms and the conditions. So for something like a deferred payment, you may be required to keep paying interest on that, or maybe pay in a lump sum down the road. That might put your might hit your credit score, you know, if you're unable to meet those requirements. So as you're analyzing those offers, make sure that you're looking at all the fine print as well. And then for anyone, not just someone in a crisis situation, we always recommend that you monitor your credit consistently. So if you're postponing payments, make sure that that is hitting your credit report correctly, not negatively, because those items will stay on there for up to 7 years in most cases. So keep an eye on your credit score. If there's any significant changes in your score, especially a decrease, that may indicate that something is wrong. So you either missed a payment, something's not being reported correctly, or even fraudulent activity in a worst case scenario.
Well, you bring up that word fraudulent activity. Unfortunately, when we get into situations like this, you have scammers out there who are preying on vulnerable people. What can you do to protect your identity, and what can you do to avoid these scams so you don't get yourself into a bad situation?
Right. That's a great point. And scammers are getting more and more creative in how they try to access your information. Couple red flags that are fairly common with scams, regardless of what they are. If anyone is ever asking for your personal information, whether it be account numbers or PINs, hang up the phone. That's usually not legitimate. If you're getting those requests in email or text, make sure you're not clicking any of those links. Those are often scams as a way to get access to your information. If someone is contacting you and they have a strange sense of urgency, so something that you know, has a limited time offer, or you need to act now, or it feels a little threatening, that's a common tactic they use to get you to make an impulse decision and provide information that maybe you wouldn't in a normal circumstance. Any requests for like a non-traditional payment, so wire transfers, gift cards, more often than not, these are not legitimate forms of payment when you are paying bills or utilities or even fees. So if those type of requests come in, it's most likely a scam. And then, unfortunately, anything that's too good to be true, so any promises to erase debt, fix your credit overnight, anything like that, if it sounds too good to be true, unfortunately, it probably is.
Lisa, this was a wealth of information. See what I did there? But
you're
in all
so
honesty,
clever, Carrie.
I know. In all honesty, you really covered a lot of bases, but if somebody wants some more information, how can they get more?
Sure. We'd love if you'd visit our website, pseCU.com/learn. On there, we have financial tips for all stages of life, including our new online learning center. It's really great. It has over 30 modules. They're very short, 3 to 5 minutes each. And it covers everything from budgeting, credit, making large purchases, becoming, you know, financial caregiver. Really has information for everyone so you can keep learning.
Lisa, finally, you know, no one could have predicted this. No one could have predicted this pandemic. In the future, what is the one thing, the most important thing you can do to be prepared financially if something like this hits?
I would say the best thing you can do now is figure out how to start setting aside funds. In most circumstances, you know, we say follow the 50-30-20 rule, where 50% of your income goes to needs, 30% goes to wants, and then 20% goes to savings and debt. Building up that emergency fund is so valuable. I know that some experts recommend, you know, 3 to 6 months, and here we are nearing month 7, month 8, with not really an end in sight. So beef up that emergency fund as much as you possibly can to help prevent financial hardship in the future.
Oh, great advice. Lisa, thank you so much. This was wonderful. You've provided a wealth of information as
well. Haha, stole my line.
So funny. Very clever. Thank you, Lisa.
Thanks, Lisa.
Thank you both. Great to see you both. Thank you.
Thanks.
You know, I kind of joked with Lisa saying this is a wealth of information, but to be honest, Flora, this is stuff that we all need to hear again because the times they are changing and they keep changing.
Yeah, they keep changing, and we're into month 7 of this pandemic, and you really need to be on your toes. You know, scammers taking advantage of people in very vulnerable situations. So I think that Lisa touched on a lot of really important things. You got to get your ducks in a row, and you've got to get your financial house in order so that you're prepared to deal with these type of situations.
Yeah, that's right. You know, we always enjoy that you are tuning in and listening or watching to us. So if you want something that's on your mind chirped about, you can just go to chicktochick.com, click contact and send us some info about what you want to know. Until then, when we're back to chirp about another topic.